If you have your Bibles with you today, we are looking at a passage from the early part of John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. This is John's version of the story of Jesus coming to the temple on Passover, not liking what he sees and turning the tables of the temple over and chasing out the money changers. And so let's listen in as John tells us this story. And I'm going to say this in the sermon in just a few moments. This is a story that can be found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are only 11 stories that can be found in all four. Matthew, Mark, and Luke put it in the last few days of Jesus' life, way over there in Holy Week, right? John puts it at the beginning of his Gospel. And I'm going to unpack that for us today. And so let's listen for the Word of God as John records it in his Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip out of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here." Now, we're going to come back to that dove part in a minute. He says, "Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years. Can you imagine a 46-year trustee project, Lockie? Can you imagine? 46 years. "And you will raise it up in 3 days," they asked. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, lots of words and images and ideas and instruction in these 9 verses. Would you make them clear to us? Would you help us to understand them? Would we be able to see why Jesus was upset and how we serve a God who sometimes is a table turner? I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Somewhere, I have a picture of Jesus laughing. Somewhere. Why I say that is it's hung in every office I've ever had except the one here. When we moved to Mountain Home in the summer of 24, I put it in a good place. I'm not quite sure where that place is. It may be up in the attic, or it may be in that box or two we still haven't opened, but I have a picture of Jesus laughing. When I look at it, I kind of get the idea that one of the disciples, perhaps Peter, told a good joke. Maybe it started like this. "Hey, Jesus, 2 rabbis went into a bar." I don't know how it went. But when he got to the punchline, Jesus laughs. I mean, he laughs. His eyes are twinkling. His mouth is open. You can see his teeth in this picture. And Jesus is laughing. Google that and you'll see what I'm talking about. I love that picture of Jesus because it reminds me that Jesus had real emotions. In seminary, they teach us to teach you, which I'm sure pastors have told you through the years, that Jesus was both fully divine and fully human, all at the same time. When it comes to the human side of Jesus, he laughed and he cried. There are 2 passages of Scripture that tell us about the tears of Jesus. One doesn't really come out and say that he was crying, but he was. It's when he cries, he laments over the town of Jerusalem. In John chapter 13, these are the words of Scripture. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are not willing. It's a lament. He's crying over Jerusalem in that passage. A little bit later, when you get to John chapter 11, Jesus has been called to the home of his good buddy Lazarus. Mary and Martha are waiting for him to get there, but Jesus is too late, and Lazarus has died. He's already been in the tomb for 3 days. And Jesus, what does he do? One of the most memorized scriptures of all time is this. Jesus, you know what it is? Wept. Even he knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to bring Lazarus back to life. I think he looked over time and space, and he looked at you and he looked at me, and he says, people are going to cry over death. Jesus wept, and we weep too. So he laughed and he cried, and I think he had other emotions too. I think he was disappointed. I think a time or two, Jesus looks around at the disciples and say, ugh, they just don't get it, right? I think he was happy. Like the time that he saw this woman, she'd been bent over 18 long years. If you ever had a back issue where your back hurts, I know some of you have had that, right? He lifts her up and she stands up straight, right? I think Jesus was happy about that. He healed her. I think he was excited sometimes too. Like the day that he was at the temple treasurer and he saw this woman come in and she dropped in her offering. It was just a little bitty thin coin, the Bible tells us. Mark chapter 12 records the story, and it's worth about a penny. And Jesus is not excited about the penny. He's excited about her faith. I love that story. I bet there were times Jesus was frustrated. Don't you? And I know that there was a time that I believe the human side of him was afraid. Like when Pilate was before him and he was arrested and put on that cross. There's one more emotion I hadn't mentioned yet. How about this one? I think sometimes he got mad. And the scripture today tells you all about it. When he sees what is going on in the temple, he overturns the tables, he pours out the coins of the money changers, and he drives out the animals that were intended for sacrifice, cattle and sheep and doves and pigeons. Now, I look back. This is a monumental statement. I have never in 32 years of preaching preached about this. 32 years. First time. And I wondered why. One of the reasons why is that Matthew, Mark, and Luke put it during Holy Week. And I focus in Holy Week usually on Palm Sunday, then Thursday with the Last Supper and Friday with the Last Hours. So I've never preached it. Why? I don't know. Here's another reason I think. I don't like an angry Jesus. Do you? I mean, give me the meek and mild Jesus. Give me the compassionate Jesus. Give me the miracle-performing Jesus. Give me the Savior who swoops in and saves the day when they're running out of wine and he gets a little bit of water and there's plenty of wine. Give me that Jesus. I don't like anger on him. I just don't. You know why? Because I don't like anger on me. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I have dealt with my temper all of my life. Now you think, you know, Nick, you're looking at, not John, no. When my oldest daughter was in high school, she was in counseling. And one day she says, Dad, can you come in and talk with us today? And so we went in. Her counselor was a preacher's kid, so she knew a little bit. And she said, Annie Grace thinks when you're mad at her. And it kind of was eye-opening to me. And she said, when you lose your temper, often you're trying to gain control back. It was eye-opening to me. And I want to tell you, since Susie's in the room, that I have lost my temper since that day. But not nearly as often. I was telling my mom and dad about that once. My dad's memory was starting to fade, and my dad said, "Where do you think you got that?" My mom said, "Are you kidding me?" We had a good laugh about it. Hopefully I'm better. I don't like to be angry or upset. No one ever saw it. The church is mostly at home, which is worse. We don't like anger a lot of times. All four gospel writers tell this story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is one of the 11 events that is recorded in all four gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as I've already said, tell about it in the last week of Jesus' life. After Palm Sunday, he's on his way and being challenged during that week. John puts it early on, in fact, very early in his gospel. I'll come back to that in a moment. I want to remind you that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the synoptic gospels. Synoptic choir means similar. Their stories are similar. I told you a couple weeks ago that there are only 24 verses in Mark that can't be found in Matthew or Luke. John's different. John's gospel begins in the heavens. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Dr. Jewett Bassler, who taught us the Bible in seminary, said it's as if John were standing on his head when he wrote the gospel. It is so different. I've always thought about that. As to the story itself, I want us to look at the story, and I want us to look at its placement. As to the story itself, John tells us that it was the time of the Passover. That's the annual celebration where the Jewish people are celebrating their freedom from slavery in Egypt. Good Jews were expected to make a lifetime pilgrimage to Jerusalem at least one time in their lifetime. If you live closer to Jerusalem, you might have gone more often than that, maybe even every year. When you came to celebrate that, you were to bring an offering. Not money like we do, but an animal sacrifice. It seems kind of strange to us, but that's the way that it was. They were expected to do that. Worshippers were to bring that offering. And often it was the case that they bought it when they got there. And so in our worship, in our service today, as we think about this, Jesus sees the money changers and the animals in the outer courtyard. Now, I want you to imagine this. Think parking lot. Think soccer field. Don't think sanctuary itself. And so that was going on the outside in the outer courts. Some pilgrims brought their own animals for the sacrifice. Others brought them when they arrived. Sheep and doves and pigeons. And here's the thing. They could charge whatever they wanted to charge. So I thought about, how would you compare that in today's world? Okay, are you ready? Think about a meal at Disney World. You ever paid for a meal at Disney World? Oh my gosh. Think popcorn and a drink at the movie theater. Think a hamburger at the stadium or a bottle of water at the airport. I mean, you are a captive audience. They can charge whatever they want to charge. And that's what upsets Jesus. And listen, he gets to the doves and the pigeons. Go back in the gospel and you will understand that those were the sacrificial animals that the very poor brought. And Jesus says, "You're price gouging the poor." And it's as if he says, "Not on my watch, not in my house, not now." And so he gets angry, he turns over tables, and he chases out animals, and he pours out the coins, "Not on my watch." So that's the story of what happened in the temple. Now, why would John tell it at the beginning of the gospel? Did it happen twice? No, I don't think so. Why hear John? Here's my best guess. My best guess. Jesus is about to turn over a lot of tables. Not just the ones in the temple. He's going to turn over table after table after table in John's gospel. Here's what I mean. He's going to challenge the tradition of the elders. Table. He's going to say, there are seven signs of who I am. Miracles, we call them. Water into wine's the first. Lazarus from the dead is the last. Seven. Table, this is who I am. Why do your disciples eat on the Sabbath day? Table. Why do you heal on the Sabbath? Table. He's changing the whole way we look at things, right? He's taken 613 commandments and says, here's what it boils down to. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Table, right? The world says, look at everything like this. But Jesus says, let me turn it over for you. Look at it like this instead. This is the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me? Am I making sense? Am I doing okay on my first sermon on this text ever? Fully divine, the Son of God, fully human too. Which means he laughed and he cried, and at least once he got mad. And he was afraid and he was disappointed and he was happy, maybe even discouraged, but always focused on his mission. And his mission was to save you. He saw something that wasn't right, and he stood up against it. And as your pastor, I want you to do the same. When you see something that isn't right, say something. That's not right. It's one of my father-in-law's favorite things. So you remember, he used to say, that's not right. But I believe in Jesus, don't you? And I'm following him all the way to Jerusalem, even when he gets mad.